News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. BJP National President JP Nadda said on Thursday that in the last 2 days, 11 workers and supporters of the party have lost their lives, while 2 have been gang-raped in West Bengal after assembly election results were declared, giving a thumping majority to the ruling Trinamool Congress. The state was in the throes of widespread violence on Monday that allegedly left several BJP workers dead and injured in clashes and shops looted, prompting the centre to seek a factual report from the government on incidents of attack on opposition workers. Officials said 4 people were also killed in alleged clashes between TMC and BJP supporters in Burdwan district on Sunday and Monday. The TMC claimed 3 of them were its supporters. Hitting out at TMC Supremo Mamata Banerjee, Nadda said the Chief Minister is a symbol of intolerance and the BJP will expose her real face before the people in Bengal. Nadda, who arrived in Kolkata on Tuesday, met family members of victims and in the neighbouring districts of the city and assured them of full cooperation in this hour of crisis. He also promised to not let their sacrifice for the party go in vain. Nadda said the TMC represents dictatorship and lawlessness, and this has once again been proved as the law and order in the state has completely collapsed since the results were declared on May 2. I interacted with the victims' family members and the way they narrated the ordeal is shocking. As the BJP national president, I would like to assure them that justice will be served in a democratic manner, he said. He urged Banerjee, who will take over as the chief minister for the 3rd time in a row, to look at what was happening across the state. The law and order is worrying and alarming. What has the TMC done after victory? They are killing our workers and it shows the TMC does not believe in democracy. It is unfortunate that TMC workers and police are claiming that videos of violence circulating on social media are fake. We all know how the house of Haran Adhikari was ransacked and the family members were thrashed at Shonarpur in South 24 Parganas district. TMC goons dragged Adhikari out of his house and killed him. We all saw how Adhikari's wife and son were crying. I would like to request the media to expose the real face of TMC before the nation. Nadda also criticized the state administration's failure in ensuring safety and security of the people in the state. It is shameful that the administration is sitting like a mute spectator and not taking any action against the attackers. Let them, that is the administration, behave like a mute spectator, but I would like to assure the victims' family members that all the party workers are standing by them, he added. Earlier in the day, Governor Jagdeep Dhankar said that Prime Minister Narendra Modi called him and expressed anguish at the failing law and order in the state. On May 5, the BJP is planning to hold nationwide protests under Nadda's leadership against the widespread violence by TMC cadres. Meanwhile, the National Human Rights Commission ordered a spot inquiry of the violence reported from several districts in Bengal. The district administration and local law and order enforcement agencies appeared not to have acted to stop such violation of human rights of the affected persons, it said. Considering as a fit case of alleged violation of right to life of the innocent citizens, the commission has today taken suo motu cognizance of the matter and has requested its DIG investigation to constitute a team of officers of the investigation division of the commission to conduct an on-the-spot fact-finding investigation and to submit a report at the earliest, preferably within 2 weeks, it said in a statement. The National Commission of Women also expressed concern over violence and requested the local administration to take immediate action against the accused. The NCW has come across Twitter posts wherein some goons can be seen beating up women in Nandigram, West Bengal, post-elections. The commission is deeply perturbed and has viewed this incident seriously as it questions the safety and security of women in the state. Chairperson Rekha Sharma has written to the Director General of Police, West Bengal, to take immediate action and arrest the accused without any delay. The NCW has sought a time-bound investigation in the matter. A team headed by the NCW chairperson will be visiting Bengal for further inquiry into the matter, a statement said. The Bombay High Court on Tuesday directed the Maharashtra government to file its replies to petitions filed by activists Rona Wilson and Shoma Sen seeking quashing of charges against them in the Elgar Parishad Maoist links case. A bench of Justices S.S. Shinde and Manish Pitale also directed the NIA, which is conducting a probe into the case, to file its reply to Sen's petition. Wilson and Sen filed their pleas in the HC earlier this year, citing the report of US-based firm Arsenal Consulting, which claimed electronic evidence had been planted on Wilson's computer. The petitioners claimed such tampering of evidence had been done to frame Wilson and his co-accused in the case. Last week, the National Investigation Agency filed its reply to Wilson's plea and disputed the US firm's report. The probe agency said it was refuting the allegations and claims made in the report and urged the HC to dismiss Wilson's plea. On Tuesday, additional Solicitor General Anil Singh, who appeared for the NIA, sought additional time to file a reply to Sen's plea. The petitioner's counsel, senior advocate Indira Jaisingh, told the HC that in the pleas, they had also challenged the sanction granted by the Maharashtra government in 2018 to prosecute the petitioners under the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act. She claimed the sanction had been granted without due application of mind. Since the state was the sanctioning authority, it must file its reply to both the pleas, she said. Jaisingh further claimed the then investigating officer in the case, Shivaji Pawar, had failed to provide all paperwork to the sanctioning authority and that he suppressed information, particularly on the question of tampering of the electronic evidence. The IO in this case failed to record that there was tampering of the computer belonging to the petitioner, Jaisingh said. She said the IO, who was also a party to the case, must be directed to file an independent reply to the plea. The Maharashtra government's counsel, advocate Deepak Thakre, sought 4 weeks for the state to file its replies. Thakre also said he would take instructions on whether the IO could respond as a party to the case. The HC will hear the petitions further on June 16. The case relates to alleged inflammatory speeches delivered at the Elgar Parishad conclave held in Pune on December 31, 2017, which the police claimed triggered violence the next day near the Koregaon Bhima War Memorial located on the city's outskirts. The Pune police claimed the conclave was backed by Maoists. Former US President Donald Trump will find out whether he gets to return to Facebook on Wednesday when the social network's quasi-independent oversight board plans to announce its ruling in the high-profile case. The decision is likely to stir up strong feelings no matter which way it goes. If the board rules in Trump's favor, Facebook has 7 days to reinstate his account. If it upholds Facebook's decision, Trump will remain indefinitely suspended. That means he will remain banned from the platform for as long as Facebook sees fit. Trump's Facebook account was suspended for inciting violence that led to the deadly January 6 Capitol riots. After years of treating Trump's inflammatory rhetoric with a light touch, Facebook and Instagram, which Facebook owns, silenced his accounts on January 7, saying at the time he would be suspended at least through the end of his presidency on January 20. In a short video posted on his social media accounts, Trump had urged his supporters to go home while also repeating falsehoods about the integrity of the presidential election. Facebook's move came after Trump was booted off Twitter, his preferred site, for reaching his millions of social media followers. This wine is out of this world, and the price is appropriately stratospheric. Christie's said on Tuesday it is selling a bottle of French wine that spent more than a year in orbit aboard the International Space Station. The auction house thinks a wine connoisseur might pay as much as $1 million to own it. The Petrus 2000 is one of 12 bottles sent into space in November 2019 by researchers exploring the potential for extraterrestrial agriculture. It returned 14 months later, subtly altered, according to wine experts who sampled it at a tasting in France. Tim Tiptree, international director of Christie's Wine and Spirits Department, said the space-aged wine was matured in a unique environment of near-zero gravity aboard the space station. The trip turned a $10,000 a bottle wine known for its complexity, silky, ripe tannins and flavors of black cherry, cigar box and leather into a scientific novelty and still a fine bottle of wine, Tiptree said. It is just a very harmonious wine that has the ability to age superbly, which is why it was chosen for this experiment, he said. It is very encouraging that it was delicious on return to Earth, he said. Private space startup Space Cargo Unlimited sent the wine into orbit in November 2019 as part of an effort to make plants on Earth more resilient to climate change and disease by exposing them to new stresses. Researchers also want to better understand the aging process, fermentation, and bubbles in wine. At a taste test in March at the Institute for Wine and Vine Research in Bordeaux, France, a dozen wine connoisseurs compared one of the space-traveled wines to a bottle from the same vintage that had stayed in a cellar. They noted a difference that was hard to describe. Jane Anson, a writer with the wine publication Decanter, said, "The wine that remained on Earth tasted a bit younger, the space version slightly softer and more aromatic." The wine being offered by Christie's in a private sale comes with a bottle of terrestrial Petrus of the same vintage, a decanter, glasses, and a corkscrew crafted from a meteorite. It is all held in a handcrafted wooden trunk with decoration inspired by science fiction pioneer Jules Verne and the Star Trek universe. Proceeds from the sale will fund future research by Space Cargo Unlimited. Several other bottles from the dozen that went to space remain unopened, but Christie's says there are no plans to sell any of them. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.